fellow out there. We're on the air. It's hockey night tonight.
Sportsnet 960 Mornings, brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. They're not in the business of selling cars. They're selling a way to get your kids' hockey team to practice. Universal Ford Lincoln, it starts with you.
Scores at the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old
hockey game is the best game you can. Not the cleanest edit.
What do you mean?
We, at the last minute, decided to go with Stompin' Tom Connors for the artist of the day.
Mm-hmm. You can hear the engine on the 45 player.
He's a Canadian icon. And much like Stompin' Tom, another Canadian icon going to join us this hour, the great Rick Mercer from the Rick Mercer
Report.
He's coming by. Stephen Brunt in the next segment. 7:06, Boomer and Warner in the morning for Universal Ford Lincoln. So, I don't like to look at who won trade deadline day.
Why?
We don't know who won until it's all said and done. There's going to be some teams that will look foolish for having given up first rounders for expiring contracts and all of that. One team probably is going to feel pretty good about things. LA Kings, last year, add Marian Gaborik, win the cup. Well done. You're brilliant, Dean Lombardi. You know exactly what you're doing. Every other team, kind of a boneheaded move to give up those picks and players, eh?
Seems stupid.
You had no read on what your team was really about. Especially a team that loses in the first round in a tough matchup.
Sounds
no
like
good.
The Olli Jokinen pickup you're talking about there.
Oh, we'll talk about that.
The Flames sent a first-rounder for him, and then they got KO'd in the first round?
About that guy.
We'll After, talk. What, a three-point debut in Philly? Something like that?
Yeah, he had three in Philly, and then I think went 0-for in a blowout loss in the next game and didn't talk to the media.
Welcome aboard, Olli.
Good to have you, Olli. Dummy. So who do you like?
Can't say that. What? Who do I like around the league?
Based on what happened yesterday or the week leading up, rosters are set. They're locked and in. We talked about it last week. Who's all in? Well, Anaheim's in. Chicago is in. Detroit has made their moves. LA's in. Montreal, Nashville. Listen to me. I'm doing the curse thing
Hartford,
again.
Hartford, Pittsburgh.
You know, I watched the Rangers play last night, and we saw them the other day against the Flames. Hard not to like that team.
I really like New York. And we have to remember, it's been 3.5 weeks without Henrik Lundqvist.
Yes,
and they're still rolling and have overtaken the Islanders.
Well, and how perfect is that? Because he's resting.
Perfect. Yeah.
This is absolutely perfect.
And if the unthinkable happens in the playoffs, Cam Talbot's had a good little run here of having to play every other night. And they just added Keith Yandle, who legitimately can run a power play, and they can shelter him enough. They're deep on defense.
And the night we watched, they didn't have Rick Nash.
That's right.
Who's leading the league at even strength goals.
But that's what you love, right, is that with Nash and St. Louis, and a lot of their forwards, I mean, aside from Nash and St. Louis, might not even be huge names, right?
But they work.
Oh, and they play. They don't have to. They'll play D, right?
Like, yeah. Stepan, Zuccarello, Kreider, Broussard.
Kevin Hayes having a good year.
Yeah, he's been good. Who's the long-haired?
Hagelin.
Carl Hagelin. Like you say, none of them real all-stars,
but
good players.
And the one thing that the Rangers have found is they have a couple little guys, but they've got a lot of big guys that can skate. And that's that. Life is miserable when you're checking someone that's bigger and stronger than you and faster than you. They got a good collection of those guys. Kreider, Hayes, Nash, all these guys can move. Broussard's got a nice touch for a big man.
So
it's very tough out.
Exactly. I like them. And I don't mind Montreal in the East either.
Yeah, Rangers added James Shepherd and Keith Yandel. Chris Summers and Carl Klingberg, but really the impactful guys in their lineup. James Shepherd, who's a worker, and obviously Keith Yandel, who's he's going to help. That blue line.
Deep.
Man, that's an impressive blue line. And did they give up a lot to get Yandel? I think so.
Yep.
They've given up a first for Martin St. Louis. They gave up a first for Keith Yandel and all of that.
Here's a comparison that you can somewhat make. So when the Buffalo Sabres were mid-90s, mid to late 90s, were had Dominik Hasek, the best player in the game. They did nothing.
Never gave their first up to get a guy, right?
Nothing to help. And you, I'm biased. I was there. But I can almost, you add a few pieces to that team, you're winning the cup.
Yeah.
It's not a, oh, you got a chance. Lundqvist, what did they say? He's 33 last night. It was his birthday yesterday. Not that a goalie can't play. He can't play for another 7 years. But when you're playing this good and you look at that lineup and what else is out there, you got to think that you're one of the best and take a stab at it.
This is your window to win. They've made the moves and they're expensive, but yeah, they're the right moves to make because this is your time. It's now or never for the Rangers. Nash in his prime, St. Louis still contributing, all that decor still intact, and Lundqvist in his prime.
There are some, yeah. I mean, it's a good point. It's tough to give up draft picks, and you think, how are we ever going to get this back? The thing about the Rangers is they're always going to have dough. And yep. In New York, they always go for star players anyway.
The weird thing,
when's the
too,
last time they didn't have a star player on their roster?
And unlike Toronto, they seem to get guys on discounts there that you might not get elsewhere. The guys love being in New York.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas in Toronto,
if you've got $6 million bucks to spend, it goes a lot further than Calgary's $7 million.
Yeah.
I mean, it does. Oh, I can make $6 million, play in New York. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Another team I liked was Tampa. Quiet,
yep.
But deep. And I like Montreal, but I don't know that they're kind of a one-trick pony to me. They got the best goalie in the league, hands down in my mind. But if he's not great,
Price isn't shutting the door.
They don't score a lot.
Yeah.
And where's their impact forward if you compare them to the Rangers or to Tampa Bay? They don't have that top-line guy that's going to flirt with 40 or 50.
Well, I mean, Pacioretty's got 30.
But he's not Nash or Stamkos. And they don't have the supporting cast, the Palat, Johnson, like the Rangers would have.
I agree with you. They're 87 points the most in the East, but for some reason it's just like, are they that dominating team? I don't know.
And yet they get to the playoffs, and every year it seems they win a round or they win two rounds, and it's like, geez, it's all Carey Price. Like, yeah, well, it's third round,
yeah,
or whatever the case may be. Detroit quietly adds, they bring in Eric Cole and Marek Zidlicky. Understated, but it's another...
It helps.
Another defenseman who can play and another forward who can chip in. But again, you look at that roster and you're kind of left underwhelmed, and then you look at where they are. They're right in the thick with all those other teams.
You're not surprised at where they are, but you look at the roster and go, huh, what?
You can make a really good case for any of the three teams in the Atlantic or Metro. Because you could certainly say, you know, Pittsburgh, they have nothing to prove. They're still Pittsburgh. The Islanders, much improved. We've foamed about the Rangers and the Lightning. Montreal's in first place and Detroit at it. I mean, all those teams could come out of the East.
The Anaheim Ducks last week added Thomas Fleischmann. And Jiří Sakac. Yesterday, they bring in James Wisniewski, Simone Dupré out of Pittsburgh, and Corbinian Holzer.
Yes.
From Toronto. So they add three.
Yeah.
And granted, Ben Lovejoy leaves in the one deal, but essentially adding three new faces on the blue line.
And they dump, I believe, Brian Allen, which was big to get rid of that salary. Toronto eats that salary. Holzer's not going to stick around. He's a horrible, horrible hockey player at the NHL level. But you know what? They can sustain a couple injuries on the blue line now. And that's something that a lot of teams can't say. It's tough to collect 8 or 9 good defensemen.
Can you give me the scouting Corbinian report Holzer? On Corbinian Holzer?
Corbinian Holzer, right-hand shot defenseman, horrible, horrible at hockey at the NHL level. I mean, just what do you do well, though. Corbinian? Well, he's from Germany better than most guys are. That's about it. Not good.
But I like Anaheim, but I don't trust their goaltending. And for me, those top teams in the East, Montreal, Tampa, the Rangers, very happy with any of their goalies.
Yeah. Yep.
And Nashville, I mean, again, I think to myself, boy, that's the team you want to meet in the first round.
Just like Colorado last year. They won the Central.
Yeah. Right? But then it comes down to Rennie, and he's that good too. So
St. I was
Louis,
shocked
Chicago,
this morning to look
going to beat each other up.
Rennie's lost 5 of his last 6. On a very good team. So he's as close to what you would expect as money, maybe Carey Price, but even still, you can hit those rough patches. Just don't hit him at the wrong time.
And we're pointing out St. Louis now 4 back with a game in hand. It's not a lock that Nashville wins that division. And if they line up with St. Louis or with Chicago in the first round, I mean, it's been a great year, Nashville, but
absolutely.
I'm going to take my money to Vegas and place it on the...
It's the playoffs, right? And that, well, we're talking about the playoffs.
Yeah. The New York Islanders ship out Chad Johnson in a third to bring in Michael Neuwirth, just in case Halak...
Isn't that a good... Is Neuwirth better than Rommel?
Well, that was... certainly he's better than Chad Johnson's been this year, but I think Rommel is a guy they could have made. That could have been the move. Now, if you're the Flames, do you want to take Chad Johnson and next year's money? I think if you had to pick a goalie, you might pick Rommel, but do the Flames want to inherit another goalie with Ortio moving to a one-way next year?
For a third rounder.
If you could get a third straight up, you'd probably do it. But you don't necessarily want to inherit that contract for Chad Johnson, who's been not so great.
Here's the one, and I think it's been a question mark for a number of years. The Pittsburgh Penguins, new coach, new GM, Daniel Winnick, Max LaPierre, and David Perron is essentially what they accomplished leading up to yesterday. They didn't even do anything yesterday, did they?
Well, they just swapped Lovejoy for Dupre. Nothing major. And they added, obviously, Daniel Winnick on the weekend.
Yeah. So Winnick, LaPierre, Perron, and they swapped Dupre for Benny Lovejoy. I'm still no more convinced in them.
But doesn't it always end up with Fleury? I mean, it's so easy to say that because when they won a cup, he played great. When they've been out in the first round, he's been terrible. So,
what were they going to do yesterday to win people over? Like, I'm with you, Rhett. The only time Pittsburgh's going to win anyone over to their camp is once the second season starts. No one's going to be impressed with anything this team ever does in the regular season until they win a cup again. Because it's always, we'll see you in the spring and then we'll see.
Yeah, the moves were... to me, very underwhelming, but if you saw them in the Stanley Cup Finals, would you be shocked?
No.
You've got Crosby and Malkin. Chris Letang. And Fleury, who it's been a bit of a rough patch in the playoffs for the last almost decade, but he has done it.
And I, before we do move on, a couple things that I would like to bring to your attention. Rene Bork 2 days ago was put on waivers, cleared waivers, and was involved in the trade to Columbus. So he's now a member of the Columbus Blue Jackets. And Olli Jokinen was traded. He's on his 10th team, too shy of the NHL record held by Mike Sillinger.
Silly.
Was traded essentially for a conditional sixth round pick.
Do we want to play the "where the heck is Olli Jokinen" played game? Or are we out of time?
Somebody put on Twitter yesterday, how does that conversation happen? Olli Jokinen, what's it going to take? I'll give you a seventh. How about a sixth? Yeah, fine. I'll give you a sixth. Okay, done. I'll call it in.
But it's conditional.
Yeah, it's conditional. Like, that's hardly a trade. It's hardly a trade when two teams don't care to that extent. Yeah, we'll get rid of them. So the Leafs got a sixth.
Well, and Dave Notice,
they don't care.
Dave Notice can now walk up to a podium and say, well, I helped him out. He wanted to get moved. And I, you know, he's a good guy. He came in for 15 great days. It was a really good paycheck worth of work. And I got him to where he needed to go.
10 teams, dude. So that's...
Want to try them? I got them all here.
L.A.
Yep.
The Islanders.
Yep.
Florida.
Yep.
Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
Calgary. The Rangers, the Jets,
yep.
Nashville,
mm-hmm.
Columbus.
No, not Columbus.
Toronto,
yeah.
St. Louis.
That's 10.
And St. Louis, yeah.
Montreal and Calgary and Hartford and Pittsburgh.
Now, here's the question. Is this it for Swoopy? Meaning, when this deal is done at the end of this year and he goes to free agency, is there any team who's signing him to an NHL one-way deal?
It's a lot of dumb GM.
Well, it just takes one.
He's a big centerman.
Oh.
I could see Buffalo being so bad that they're like, well, what's $1 million on Swoopy? Like,
we've got to have someone to
really like
come to the rink.
Is Phil Verone that much better swoopy. Like,
I love it.
Is Zemgus Girgensons like really gonna need to play 28 minutes a night on the top? Like, let's give him some help down the middle. But does he belong in the NHL long term? Absolutely not. The end is near.
Ah, Swoop.
36.
I hope he breaks that record. Good luck, Swoop.
By the way, the career numbers on old Swoopy. 1,221 regular season games. 6 in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So for every 200 games he plays in the regular season, gets one in the playoffs.
Well, he's durable, eh? He's never goes in the corners.
He's a winner, eh?
So you manage to stay healthy when you swoop. When you're a big old swoopy out there. We got Stephen Brunt coming up. Spring training baseball getting underway. He wants to talk about, did that thing, living in the van down by the river with Daniel Norris.
Shaved his beard.
That thing is coming. As well, Rick Mercer before 8 o'clock. Derek Wills, Eric DeHatchick, all coming up. It's a busy Tuesday, kids. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer talking sports in the morning. Text him now at 960-960. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
It's Bud the Spud from the bright red mud, rolling down a highway smiling. The
Sportsnet 960 Mornings, brought to you by Universal Ford. They're not in the business of selling cars. They're selling a way to get your luggage and the family dock to the next hockey tournament. Universal Ford Lincoln, it starts with you.
He jumps in the cab and he's off with the bright Sebagos. He's got to catch the boat to make Clementine, then he hits up that old...
There you go, a little stomp of Tom this morning. Just flogging that sheet of plywood. You ever see him? In person? Yeah. You ever watch him?
No.
Saw him once, and of course he's got the plywood. And he thumps the hell out of it with this... with his boot. Rick Mercer, what an hour. Stomping Tom Connors, Rick Mercer, and Stephen Brunt, all Canadian legends. Chat with Stephen Brunt.
Stephen Brunt, brought to you by Glenmore Audi. The spring into Audi sales event is on now, with great cash savings on all in-stock models. Visit GlenmoreAudi.com.
It's quite the company you're in, Steve. Legends.
Very happy to be Stomping Tom.
Man. Yeah. Are you covering the Dion Phaneuf press conference today? I'm guessing now that he's traded, you know, they'll have a big presser today.
Yeah, I would think they'll have, they'd have a presser and a parade here if he was traded. But, yeah. yes. I'm not, which is not totally fair. I'm not piling on here. It's just the way it goes. But, no, Dion Phaneuf, the captain, remains the captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs until, I would say, at least this summer. And, the reality of a cap system in a year when everybody's looking at the number and saying, boy, it's not going to get any higher next year, it might even get a bit lower because the Canadian dollar makes it a little tough to unload big, long, expensive, multi-year deals.
And when you don't know what you're buying.
Well, I think you kind of do know what you're buying. And, you know, he still could be, you know, he's a top four guy with a lot of teams and he plays a lot of minutes. And, you know, he's not the second coming of, but, you know what he reminds me of, especially with all the Detroit talk yesterday, right, that he was going to go to Detroit. You know, Larry Murphy played for the Leafs. The fans all but ran the guy out of town. You know, Larry Murphy's a bum. Larry Murphy can't play. You know, Larry Murphy makes all kinds of mistakes. He's a pylon. And I believe he went on to have a pretty productive career post-Toronto, got his name on the Stanley Cup, and, you know, was hailed as a, you know, not quite a generational player, but a really good player of his generation. If you take Phaneuf and put him on a good team where he doesn't have to be the guy, doesn't have to be the number one, doesn't have to be the captain, I think he'd log a lot of minutes and play pretty well. You know, Detroit would be a great situation for him, but I don't see how you get him out, and I don't see how you make that deal. Even in the summer, I'm not sure how you make that deal.
So what do you do? I mean, you're stuck with him, you keep him, you're captain. It just seems like such a sour situation.
Yeah, it's a huge mess because, you know, if are you going to strip him of the captaincy? Well, you know, that's going to be ugly, isn't it? You know, that's going to be that's a situation that'll fester forever. It's what happens when you make a mistake now in this system. And let's say that this was a mistake to sign Dion to that contract. Although, you know, I had this argument with McCowan last night, but I'm dead certain I'm right about it. You know, at the time, I think there were 10 other teams that would have given him the same money in the same term. So, you know, the Leafs signed him to the extension because they, you know, they were going to lose him and as a UFA. And, you know, they said somebody's going to play the minutes. Somebody's going to be a number one. This guy is at least the closest thing we have, so we better lock him up because we don't have a replacement for him. We don't have anybody else to do it, and there's not anybody else available. And it's not, you know, your value isn't set according to, you know, where you stand on the hierarchy of the best defenseman in the NHL. It's set according to availability. You know, who's out there? What are the alternatives? You know, it's like buying a house, right? It doesn't have to be the greatest house in the world. It depends what other houses are out there and what people are looking for. So they locked in with Phaneuf, and I think it wasn't necessarily the wrong decision in that moment, but it is not, you know, for a whole bunch of reasons for this team. It just hasn't panned out. And one thing I would say is I don't know that he has the personality to carry off the being the front man for a team in a tough media, in a vigorous media market. I'm not sure how tough Toronto really is, but there's a lot of attention. I'm not sure he's got the personality to do that.
It's crazy that we're here, or the Leafs are here, when it was like so recent that they went through, like you say, that conversation about, well, what do we do? They'd made the playoffs. They'd almost beaten the Boston Bruins. Phaneuf was the captain. And yeah, to a certain extent, who do you replace him with? Do you just let him go for nothing? If they were in that spot this year, then you trade an expiring contract and you get something big. But instead, they felt like they were in a position to be a playoff team and had to keep him.
Yeah, that's it, right? And everybody thought, you know, they had a collapse in Game 7 against a really good Boston team. Otherwise, they're into the second round. And, you know, you know everybody looked at them and said, boy, that's, you know, they're a little better than we thought. You know, Phil Kessel's an elite scorer. They've got some interesting young talent like Jake Gardner. They're, you know, it's a good mix. They've got goaltending. You know, you would have had to be a bit of a seer as a general manager to say, no, they're actually, this thing's a mirage, and we're going to turn back the clock here, and we're going to go into a rebuild. And the first thing we're going to do on the heels of that playoff, you know, the best Toronto playoff moment, I know that's a relative term, you know, in the last, you know, 15 years, is dump our captain and start all over again at that position. You know, I guess there's somebody in hockey could have figured that out. There's some smart guys. But, you know, you would have had to, A, have to been really, really smart, and B, really, really gutsy. So I just can't hang these guys for it, you know. It's Monday morning quarterback stuff, and I would have done that, and I also would have committed the money to Kessel because, you know, there's not a lot of 30-goal scorers in this league. You know, he's a guy, he's got elite offensive talent. You know, you see what, you know, most people would have said, okay, we got our captain and our number one defenseman, we got a guy who's going to score, we're okay in goal. Now let's build on this, and you know, and in fact, the thing has spiraled downward at a ridiculous rate, and they've collapsed and they've quit. But you know, I don't know if you can blame Dave Nonis or anybody else for not seeing that, you know, for not anticipating that that happening.
Meanwhile, Steve, here in Calgary, we're down in the mouth. We're hurting in a big way with Giordano done for the season.
Yeah, what a gut punch, boy! That, you know, we, of all the stuff that happened yesterday, that was the one. You know, when that was announced, it was. You know, that was the biggest news yesterday, that, you know, to lose a guy who's having such a great year. And, you know, I think they kind of, you know, Brad Treliving was on with us. I think they kind of obviously tried to keep this thing on the down low yesterday while they were trying to maybe deal for a replacement. You don't want people thinking you're dealing from desperation. But I just wondered, you know, for a team that's been so resilient, right, the team that's really, you know, all those comebacks this year, you wonder if you can bounce back from something like this. So that's a tough one at this stage in the year, and it's been one of the best stories. You know, the Flames have been one of the best stories, if not the best story in the league this year, and everybody's kind of rooting for them. And it felt like a gut punch, and it's gonna take a heck of a group to kind of rebound from that and say, no, we're okay. We're gonna rally around the flag, and we're gonna make the playoffs. You know, I'm not saying it's impossible, but I'm not sure what worse could have happened to him.
Well, you better hope that Jonathan Quick breaks his leg and the Sharks go in the tank even worse than they have been, because it's going to be a tough. That's a lot of quality minutes. And Pinder here said all year that that's the one thing the Flames can't survive is a loss to one of their top four defensemen, and obviously he's their best defenseman.
Yeah, that's well, that that's exactly it. And it's you're right. It's not just the, you know, it's not just the Flames situation, which, you know, and it's the other, who those other teams are, and the assumption that at a certain point they're going to, you know, that's as you say, there's a lot of quality in that LA lineup, obviously, and San Jose should be better than they are. And, you know, we still got a fair bit of hockey to play here before the end of the season. I'd love to blue sky this thing and say they're gonna rally around and, you know, they're gonna grab the eighth spot and it'll be a great triumph of you know, of pluck and character. And it might be, you know, be a heck of a story. But boy, that's an awful handicap to take on at this time of the year.
We've got about 30 seconds, Steve. You spent a couple nights sleeping in Daniel Norris's van. You've put the story together, and we're going to see it soon. Is that correct?
Yeah, Baseball Today, Grapefruit League, starts today. 1 o'clock Eastern's first pitch. Pre-game's at 12:30, so 10:30 in the morning. So don't go to work, anybody, if you're listening to this.
Everybody's fired here.
Stay home from school. You don't have to go. And we got a Dan Norris piece that's going to run in the pregame, and he is a really cool guy. We had a lot of time trailing around with him in the van, and I will say we'll give away one very important thing. He grows a beard all winter. He's, you know, 4 months, and it's not the kind of beard I could grow in the winter. Like this thing, he looks like Grizzly Adams. We documented the end of the beard because he's a rookie, you know, in a major league clubhouse. You don't want to attract attention to yourself. So if you ever wanted to see someone hack off a Grizzly Adams beard standing on the side of the road with a pair of clippers, that's what we have.
Such a cliche. Right? That old thing. Thanks, Steve. We appreciate it, man.
See you, boys.
Stephen Brunt brought to you by Glenmore Audi. The spring into Audi sales event is on now with great cash savings on all in-stock models. Visit glenmoreaudi.com.
Jumping out, Rick Mercer. Giving us a call next. Sports at 960, The Fan.
Rise and shine with Boomer doing sports talk his way. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hey, Tom, have you ever been to Tilsonburg?
Tilsonburg? My back still aches when I hear that word.
Sportsnet 960 Mornings, brought to you by Universal Fort Lincoln. They're not in the business of selling cars. They're selling a way to get your kids' hockey team to practice. Universal Fort Lincoln, it starts with you.
This feels good. Listen to a little Stompin' Tom. Very much a Canadiana feel. We had Stephen Brunt, Stompin' Tom, and our next guest. Give you $7 a day. Makes all of us proud to be Canadian. The great Rick Mercer joins us. How are you, Rick?
I'm excellent. How are you?
We're okay. It's a little chilly. We lost our captain. Mark Giordano's out for the year, so we're a little down in the mouth.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for your trouble.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, it's hockey.
We don't put much stock in it, but we are.
No. You don't spend much time thinking about that kind of stuff.
So I get an email. Apparently, you must be just tired, exhausted of winning awards, because every time you turn around, someone's handing you a trophy. You're doing an acceptance speech. Three Canadian Screen Awards last week.
This is Canadian show business. You go to a Canadian Screen, well, you go to a Canadian Show Business Award, half the people who are nominated are out of work or looking for work. So if you have a job, you've already won. That's the most important thing. That's all I care about. Every day I wake up and go, thank God I'm working. And that's not being facetious, because, like, literally, that's the way show business is. So, but it's nice to get some statues. And you know what? We went to an award show. It wasn't on television, so people didn't blather on thanking people that weren't there. Otherwise, they'd get heckled or booed.
Yeah.
And all of my writers and myself, we were sitting at a table, and they're all, you know, new dads. So they had a night out, and there was lots of cheap, free wine. So they had a really good time.
Yeah, everyone's a winner, regardless.
Everyone's a winner.
You win Best Comedy Program, and I don't want to focus too much on these awards necessarily. But
no, please, you can focus on my awards.
Okay, fair enough.
No, go on, whatever, go on.
Well, I had to, because it's like, now the Mercer Report, 2003 is when this started?
I guess, well, 12 years. I'm not good at math.
So to be a dozen years in, it's still fresh, it's still funny, and it's still being recognized. That's fantastic.
Well, you know what? We stumbled on something. Year two or three, I started getting really paranoid. I was thinking this show is working. The numbers are huge. It's you know, people are liking it. I mean, nothing. I mean, that's like hitting the Holy Grail. But I was very paranoid. I thought we're just going to run out. Any minute, we're just going to run out of things to do. And then I realized that's not going to happen. I mean, tonight, you're a sports channel. Like, tonight on the show, I go to Quebec and play kinball. Have you heard of kinball?
No.
Kinball, K-I-N, ball, kinball. It is a made-in-Canada sport. I mean, Quebec is so talk about a distinct society.
Yeah.
So some guy there decided he invented a game for the kids in his, like, elementary school, and then it started spreading to other elementary schools, and now it's in every elementary school in Quebec, and because it's been there for, like, 12 or 14 years, it's now playing in high schools, and there's leagues all over the province. You go into the gym, there's, like, fans are cheering. There's a full tournament going on. You look at the gym and you go, okay, there's a sport being played here. But you watch and you go, I have no idea what's going on. Okay, there's three teams on the court.
Three?
Three.
Okay.
Three. I know. And I'm not a sports guy, but I thought, that can't be, you know, that must be rare. Well, I looked into it. There's no other sport in the world where three teams are on the court at the same time.
Yeah.
So there's three teams, four people, and the ball is 4 feet in diameter.
Yeah, we're looking at some pics right now.
Yeah, you're looking at it online now, and you're going, look at that.
Yeah, yeah. And what do they do with this? It's a huge, it's just a huge ball, inflatable
it's
ball.
Big,
and then how do you win?
Ball. So there's three teams. I'll try to, look, I mean, once you get in play, it all makes sense. But describing it's a bit tricky. But so there's three teams, and they're colors. So say they're red, blue, and black, and there's four each. And so say red has the ball, three members of red are holding the ball, and then the fourth guy runs at the ball, and he has all sorts of different ways to either shoot it at the ceiling or shoot it left, right, you know, wherever, like to shoot that ball far away. But before he hits the ball, he has to call one of the other teams. And when he yells that team, he yells black or whatever, then the black team can't let that ball hit the ground, and the other team falls back.
They're catching pop flies.
Yeah, like that. Exactly. They do all sorts of wild stuff. I mean, the older guys, they, like, you know, they do everything possible for that ball not to hit the ground.
Yeah.
And so it's great fun. But it's so weird. You know what it reminded me of? When I was a kid watching Battlestar Galactica, and then they would, like, suddenly cut to them, like, playing a sport. They were, like, running around in, like, a racquetball court, but trying to put a ball in a hole. And it was like, I remember as a kid thinking, oh, this is like weird. This is what they'll play in the future, I guess, when we're all in space. That's what it was like. It was like being dropped onto another planet.
Yeah. Now, something like that, like you say, when you get into it, it's like, we may run out of things to do. Has that been the case? Because it's so well known now. The show is an institution in Canada. I would think you must still be flooded with people wanting you to come to their town or school or wherever it be to get on your show.
Yeah, and that's important because we don't have eyes and ears everywhere. And especially, you know, one of the problems and also one of the great things about the show is we shoot a lot in the winter. So there's a lot of winter events. So unfortunately, I mean, I went into show business so I could be indoors, not outdoors, but, you know, I won't quibble with that.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of, you know, a month ago I was in, like, in a town I'd never heard of in the mountains of British Columbia where they have literally, and this is the thing they do normally, like they have this giant, another giant ball, like 3 feet, that's filled with kitty litter. So it's like a giant medicine ball. And then they line up people as bowling pins, and you're not allowed to move, and then they do human bowling down a hill. Tonight on the show, I'm in Ravenhurst, and they're like, do you want to do the puddle jump? And I'm like, what's the puddle jump? And they're like, oh, you go through a puddle on a skidoo. And I was like, okay, I can do that. So I get down there, and they've cut a hole in the ice on a lake. Like, it's 30 below on a lake. It's 8 feet wide by 150 feet. And then I'm supposed to get on the skidoo and hit that open water and go 150 feet to make it to the other side.
How'd you do?
I didn't make it that far.
We got to watch. Brutal.
And you know what else? You wouldn't believe the number of events I've done where before I show up, they say, sign the waiver. And then once I get there, you know, St. John Ambulance is like standing by, right? This one, no waiver, no St. John Ambulance. I'm in the middle of the lake, giant hole, skidoo.
What could go wrong? Has there been anything that you wouldn't do?
Yeah. I didn't want to stand on the back of a horse. There's people that stand on the back of horses in this country, and then the horses go around barrels, And, like, they invite me out. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't do that. And then they start getting insulted. They're sure. like, why? You do everything else. I'm like, I'm afraid. They're like, what are you afraid of? And I'm like, I'm afraid that I'll become a quadriplegic. I don't want to. I mean, I can't envision standing on the back of the horse without envisioning landing on my head. Like, yeah. it just seems too dangerous to me. And plus, I don't have I'm lousy at a skateboard. Were you going to put me on the back of a horse? And they're like, geez, you jumped out of a plane. Well, I was tied to a soldier. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, totally. But they, yeah. of course, this is their passion and their love. And they're like, wow, like, we're really insulted. I'm yeah. like, don't be insulted. I'm just afraid to stand on a horse. And that's not a bad thing.
Because you know how you're going to put this story together. So you go to a town, you're taking part in their event, and it's got to be going through your head, okay, when in post-production, when we put this together, that'll be a good shot, or we need to do this or that. Have you ever been on at an event or whatever the case may be, and you're thinking in your head, there's nothing to this. There's going to be nothing to put on television because this is dull or boring, or there's absolutely no substance to it.
You know what? There's been some times where I've been super surprised because, of course, you know what? Like going to a winter carnival or something. It's all about, and I don't want to sound cliche, but it's all about the community and the people and what. Like, if you're worried that the event is not, you know, there's not enough action or adventure or you know, physical comedy, what you got to do is you got to go start mining, and you got to start mining for interesting people. And some of the best interviews I've ever done, I mean, I went oyster fishing one time, and that part was interesting to tell people how you go oyster fishing and to try it out. But, like, sitting in the boat with the fisherman was like one of my favorite interviews ever, just because he had a completely unique perspective and he was really funny. And so it worked out on that level. And that's what you got to look for.
You know, what's funny about your show, like you think of Jerry D, he's got his show. Perfect world. Wouldn't it be great if some U.S. network picked it up and it was simulcast or whatever? The Rick Mercer Report is never getting picked up by an American network. It is so Canadian,
never.
And only we
never,
get it.
Never, never.
Yeah.
You know, I used to have a sitcom years ago, and we did 65 episodes. It was called Made in Canada, and it did very well in Canada, and it was sold around the world. And so it was on in the States on PBS, and it was on in, you know, like a couple of dozen other countries. That's a different game because you cannot help, as much as you say, well, Canada's our primary market, you cannot help but be cognizant of those foreign markets. And you know that, like, if it really takes off in some of those markets, you can do very well. And you can't help but starting to change the Canadianism sometimes, you know. And then once money starts coming in from other markets, there are distributors who are saying, oh, did you say cabin? You're going to the cabin?
Yeah.
You're going to say you're going to the cabin? Like, people don't use the word cabin in the States. They use the word cottage only. So if you say cabin, or they'll say, could you change it to camp? I'm like, well, I wouldn't say that. And you get caught up in that kind of business. So the Mercer Report is so Canadian, no one would ever even consider buying it.
And that's part of the charm.
We won an award one time, speaking of all the awards. We won this award called the Rose D'Or. And the Rose D'Or is, it means nothing to anyone outside of television, but it's a European award. And some great, great, great comedies have won this award. And I Absolutely Fabulous and stuff like that. And we were amazed that the Mercer Report won this award. And what happens when you win this award is, companies from around the world immediately contact you and they say, we want to buy your format so we can do our version of your show. And, you know, in TV, you can make money at that, selling your format. So when we won this award, we were like thrilled. And suddenly all these countries were calling. And then they looked at the show and they all said the same thing. They were like, what kind of show is this? Like, so in this episode, the guest is the Prime Minister of Canada. And we go, yeah. And then they go, but then the next week, the guest is a rock star? We go, yeah. And then the next week, it's a fisherman? And then what are you doing with all these soldiers? They're like, it makes no sense. Is it about popular music? Is it about politics? Is it about fishermen? Like, you can't do all that in a show. And then they're like, and you're doing actual commentary about politics, and then you're doing sketches. Like, how does this even work? And they all just thought we were crazy. But it works.
Yeah. Actually, you'd be surprised how well it works. We've been doing it since 03. So
yeah,
it's been a pretty good run.
There you go. But, you know, I actually got a kick out of the fact that they couldn't figure out how a show like that would work.
Yeah.
I mean, I was sad that I never got to see a German version of the Mercer Report just to see what it would look like. But
so who's been the best, like, you know, a good sport? Somebody, whether it was a politician or somebody. Because didn't you go ziplining here with Jan Arden and our mayor?
Oh, yeah. And actually, I've got a date planned with Nancy fairly soon. He's going to be on the show in a couple of weeks. Jan Arden, of course, is a tremendous sport. She always is.
Yeah. So who's been...
I've had her rock climbing. I've had her dangling off the CN Tower. I've taken her paintballing over the years. Like, she's a great sport. Rick Hansen is a great sport because he doesn't like heights, and I pushed him off a bridge. He was tied to a bungee cord. But, you know, for a guy who doesn't like heights, that's a pretty good sport.
Yeah. Who is not down with it?
You know what? I think most people, if they're going to come on the show, they're down with it. But I'm proud of the fact that anytime I'm interviewing anyone, I can tell them. I said, look, you know, in 12 years, no one's ever regretted it. No one's ever called me up and said, why did you allow me to say that on television? Or why did you make me, you know, why did you embarrass me? I mean, if anything happens that would be embarrassing, I wouldn't put it on television. And that's just kind of the show it is. I mean, someone else might have another show that's different, which is fine. But, you know, I always look out for the guest. And so far, no one's ever regretted it. So people, and I think after a number of years, there's a trust built in. Like, and so if I tell someone, no, if you do this, it'll be fine. I think they kind of trust me. Which is, you know, great. And it makes my job easier because I don't have to spend a lot of time convincing someone to actually do it.
Talking to Americans, I mean, I loved that. It was hilarious. Did you ever cross the line with anyone there? I mean, you wouldn't cross the line, but were people ever upset with you when you were down in the States?
Well, when I did Talking to Americans, it was a fluke, of course. It was one of those things. I did it on 22 Minutes, and it was just a segment that turned into... you know, a hit segment. And I remember the first time I did it, it was just a total fluke. I was in Washington to do something else and it didn't work. And then I just decided to do Streeters, interview people on the street. And that's a notoriously awful job, right?
Yeah.
Trying to get, and so I thought I'll just lie to them and just make up outrageous stuff. And then we put it on TV and it was a big hit. My father never, ever commented on anything I ever did at that point in comedy, ever. And he called me up and he said, I watched the show last night. And I said, yeah. He said, that Talking to Americans. And everyone was raving about Talking to Americans. They loved it. And people were like, you got to do more. You got to do more. My father said, I saw this Talking to Americans you did last night. And I said, yes. And he said, promise me something, son. I said, what? He said, promise me you will never, ever do that ever again. And then it's all I did for the next 4 years.
Yeah.
Any week. Welcome back to another edition of.
Yeah. Thanks for the support, Dad.
He just thought it was that is disgraceful.
Yeah, you have my word.
Disgraceful thing to do to people.
Yeah, we'll never do it again. Hey.
But that was before YouTube. And believe it or not, it was before YouTube. So in my mind, I always thought, you know what? I'm down here. I'm pulling these fast ones on everyone. But they're never going to know. It's going to be on the CBC.
Yeah.
These Harvard professors are never going to know. And these governors are never going to know. And for years, they didn't know. And now they all know, of course.
It's an amazing career that you've put together. And like I say, anything that lasts as long as this has, and it keeps getting better, and it's still relevant, and people want to be on it. It's one of those things, I think. I don't know if there's anything else in Canada like it. Hockey Night in Canada.
Pretty much. You know what? I just like doing it. And, it's a pretty unapologetically Canadian experience.
Good on you, Rick. Thanks for joining
us. Thank you
so much. Real treat to talk to you.
Tune in tonight, 8 o'clock.
We got it.
Puddle jump, skidoos, water, ice, axes, all that good stuff.
Thanks, Rick.
I didn't mention the axes. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye now. Here's Rick Mercer. He's a great guy. And that show is absolutely funny.
Nailed it with the Talking to Americans. I mean, that stuff is absolutely, like, you're crying, you're laughing so hard. And again, of course, you can't syndicate that anywhere else.
The first time I saw that, yes, roaring.
And it takes a special guy to do that show. You could have the same, even if you take out some of the political stuff, but when you hear him talk about his political views, you take him, this guy knows what he's talking about. There's a credibility that's there with him. And then he can turn around and he's just so likable when he's doing the other stuff. Very rare to find someone that can touch them all like that. Rick Mercer, there you go. Rick Mercer Report, Check it out tonight. We'll come back with Derek Wills, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.